having to do a budget modification at some point if the Common Council determines to use any of that restricted contingency. And the budget ordinance does require that restricted contingency requires a two-thirds majority to bring it into use, just as a statutory budget modification would. These are four slides. I cramped them together because we're not going to spend much time on it. But these were some information Paul shared with the Finance Committee when they were doing their review of the budget. And I thought it was just worth at least very quickly pointing out for intergovernmental revenues, it shows that the state really has not been friendly to us over the years with loss of some intergovernmental revenues. It talks about and shows how with the budget level down here, one of the driving factors for balancing our budget each year continues to be overtime in primarily police and fire departments, which is one of the reasons that we tried to add some more funding to that this year to get us closer to what's been happening in real life. The landfill siting revenue by fund, that is a big difference this year with the new contract occurring in the new area opening up. It's fully anticipated that the city will enjoy a significant increase in landfill siting revenues, and we've budgeted accordingly. A number of items are set in the budget where they're restricted for departmental expenditure, subject to the Common Council seeing that this increased revenue flow is actually occurring. So we sort of created a mid-level of restriction to expenditures for certain items, primarily in the capital outlay fund. And this just shows that Franklin compared to Paul, the names are here small. This is these are the other Milwaukee County communities. We continue to have a low municipal property tax rate per thousand of assessed value. This just walks through the calculation that shows how an estimated property tax bill is affected by a change in property taxes being collected. The increase of 1.72 in total property taxes being collected, when you make the necessary adjustments for the TID districts and the equalization by the state, we end up actually with the estimated tax rate going down. By fund, just very quickly, most of what I've talked about already was the general fund. The library worked very hard this year to eliminate a structural deficit from previous years, and there was some added levy, $9,500 in additional levy. The solid waste collection fund is continuing to have a fee of $106.95 per year. Street Improvement Fund has approximately $700,000 in levy, was moved to the general fund, and transportation aids were moved to this fund. It seemed an appropriate initial allocation of transportation aids. And sufficient funding was included to cover, I believe, the first 13 of the 17 projects listed as potential street paving projects in the that portion of the budget. The Development Fund, which is impact fees, continues to have pressure regarding the need to expend park impact fees. In the near term, the state just earlier this year adopted something that takes impact fees being collected at this point and shortens the time period for them from 10 years to 8 years. So that is something that we will move into our planning going forward. It's not an immediate concern, but it is a sort of a near-term concern because that eight-year line will get here quicker than we realize. The debt service fund continues to have property tax levy supporting the fund, remaining at $1.3 million. And this budget will require some portion of the added levy to be authorized as a separate property tax levy specifically to support that debt. And that's part of that 1.72% that we talked about earlier. The Equipment Replacement Fund levy in this instance was also moved to the general fund, and landfill siting fee revenue was added here. The 2019 revenues of $610,000 represents about 51% of the resources required to be fully funded for the recruitment replacement fund. So we continue to have that same issue of being underfunded in the long term. The items for expenditure are a three-yard wheel loader, self-contained breathing apparatus, and fire engine number two replacement. The capital outlay fund has a little over $677,000 of approved items. The contingency appropriation in there is listed as $400,000. 50 of it is unscheduled and unrestricted, so that's the regular items that come up that periodically you address during the year. $100,000 of it is intended and it's expected to be spent on items requested by department heads, but we're sort of waiting, A, for some of the landfill siting funding to that revenue stream to come into play, and B, so we can evaluate a little closer to the middle of the year which of a number of multiple reasonable items have moved into the status of needing replacement. So sometimes when you budget this far in advance, it's hard to guess almost a year out which things will sort of progress through its life cycle more quickly. So we actually built in $100,000 of contingency that we expect to spend, but we'll do a review probably around mid-year as to which that should be allocated to and bring that back to council at that time. And this is where we did tie some of those landfill siting fees to projects that are pending approval and require coming back to the council for authorization at the point that you believe the landfill siting revenues are going to be consistent with what we've budgeted overall. The capital improvement fund, there's $2.1 million borrowed for these purposes. A variety of street and some park projects. General, the difference between this is the parkland acquisition for the Committee of the Whole was moved up to an approved project instead of the project's pending approval. For those not familiar with it, projects pending approval require some further direction from the council before staff invest much time or effort other than the necessary time and effort to bring it back to council and answer their questions to get approval to move the project forward. So that's a very quick overview of the budget, and we're to the end of the budget process, which is Tuesday, November 13th, which is a council meeting for this public hearing and consideration and adoption of the budget ordinance, which is in your packet.
This is a public hearing regarding the 2019 budget. I will hereby open the public hearing. Anyone wishing to speak on the budget, please rise and come forward. Give us your name and address and your speech. Anyone? Okay. Seeing no one rise, I will close the public hearing. Without objection, we'll move to G1. Alderman Dendry.
Mr. Mayor, if we could, please. We had a previous discussion. What I'd like to do is if we could go to item G7 and discuss G7 first prior to going into a vote on the budget, please.
Objections. Alderman Barber.
I have a motion that would affect that within this. I don't know how you want to go that way. An adjustment to the budget for that. You want to hear that first, or?
Well, I think there's maybe some aldermen that would like to hear the details of some of the findings regarding the WRS issue first, and then we can, if appropriate, then we could probably do that.
Okay. G7 is a resolution of inclusion under the Wisconsin Retirement System.
A council action sheet with a couple additional points that vary from what we've discussed, I think, at three prior actions of the council on this that had a lot of other information on it. The resolution may look a little different than you're used to as a standard format resolution that the Common Council is used to adopting, because the format of the resolution, which is page 89 of your packet, is an actual specific form of the ETF, which is the Employee Trust Fund of the Wisconsin, it's the Wisconsin Department of Employee Trust Funds, which administers the WRS, and they have a resolution that you are required to complete. I will note that if it's approved, I believe the employer identification number, we have to modify that form. And then the line that says total number of eligible employees would be filled in as 101. And so the packet simply identifies that the council's previously told us to work with Labor Council to prepare the necessary changes to our handbook and our existing pension plans to incorporate this based on your prior action, and that's currently being worked on by Labor Council, and would be those specifics would be brought back to you prior to the end of the year so that they could be adopted and enforced before January 1st, actually by 12/31. The second bullet point identifies that the Finance Committee had a good lengthy discussion on this topic, stemming from and related to the position of the Director of Finance and Treasurer, with concern moving from a defined contribution plan to a defined benefit plan because of the potential risks involved, and how the in a defined contribution plan the city's risk ends when they retire, whereas it's ongoing with the defined benefit plan. There's a good memo in your packet that you were encouraged to read, and the finance director is here if you have any questions for him. Finance Committee simply asked that after their discussion that memo be provided to you, and it is attached in your packet. The next point, we spent some time talking with the actuary and did determine that there would be some added cost for ongoing normal costs for members of our current defined benefit plan who transitioned to WRS, which is estimated to be about $6,400 in the for the general fund, and a slight savings of $1,700 in the sewer and water funds. And then we identified some people who would be either at the cusp of being close to being able to meet the eligibility standards but not, and a couple employees that we have on staff that would now meet the standards of the WRS for eligibility. I think three that would meet it that currently don't, in the general fund and one in the library. In the general fund, it would add just short of like 4,900, just short of 5,000. Library would be about another 1,800. And the last bullet point there is there is another special circumstance where we have placed an item on the agenda for closed session relative to a personnel matter that would be related to this, because the statutes do allow you to address individual matters related to employment, compensation, and things that could affect somebody's reputation. And so we have listed the one unique circumstance for consideration in closed session.
Mr. Liberta, the adoption costs, is that just a one-time expense of $123,652?
No, that's built, since it's a roll-up or a cost on wages, it's an ongoing cost. It becomes built into the base budget and would continue in place going forward.
And so that is fully budgeted this year?
When the budget was presented to the Common Council, it included the 93.8, the additional 6,400 and 4,900, so spread across our budget between departments would be that additional cost of about $10,000, which we would probably be short. Again, that depends on how many people who are eligible elect not to participate. For example, any employee in the defined contribution plan who believes, well, I don't know that I'm going to be here 5 years, they may not elect to participate and have the deduction from their paycheck if they don't believe they can become vested in the Wisconsin retirement system. So it is possible that the appropriation might be about $10,000 short, spread over throughout the departments of the budget.
So if we were to adopt this to move forward for the city, basically we're being asked to give them a pension program that we know is one of the best in the country, but to the taxpayers, it's a commitment for a lifetime, unless there would be a change. Is that correct?
Yes, if you're including unless there would be a change at the state level, yes. The adoption of a resolution of inclusion by a Common Council is irrevocable. So once you're in the WRS, you remain in that, just as we currently are for our police and fire.
So there's really, if we adopt it, there's really no going back.
Once it's received by them, on November 15th, by November 16th, it can't be revoked. Correct.
And the vesting period is 8 years?
Five.
Is 5 years. And this will, in your budget presentation, you had two 1.55% increases. Are those separate, or is that just one 1.55% increase?
Separate, because they were different things. One is a retirement cost to the city. Our current contribution for those, and again, this is for those in the defined benefit plan, our contribution will go up from 5 to 6.55. For those in the defined, in the defined contribution plan, our cost will go from 5% to 6.55, and those in the defined benefit plan will go from 3.9 to 6.55. So the second 1.55 is the annual wage increase that we anticipate to be our market adjustment that we've given and addressed in July of each year. Just so happened that we budgeted that same amount to try to offset the loss the employees will experience by joining, who are currently have a 5% reduction from their earnings to go to a mandatory pension payment, and their share will go up 1.55% too. So as set forth in the budget, an employee who joins WRS will actually have a reduction in their net take-home pay due to their mandatory pension contribution going up from 5 to 6.55. So it just so happens that the wage increase, instead of being at 2% for next year or 2.5%, it was set at that same 1.55, anticipating July increase. And we'll follow the normal process with that, where it goes through personnel committee and comes to the Common Council to determine whether or not to award it. It won't be awarded without subsequent Common Council action.
So there's a potential for some employees to get approximately a 3.1% increase, 1.55 and 1.55?
Not in their take-home pay, but in their, if you count the total cost to the city, then yes. But they won't experience that in their take-home pay. They will experience that as an increased pension benefit.
Correct.
And ultimately, they will experience that if they vest within the program.
Correct. But the cost to the city,
yes,
is that amount.
Yeah, because
not necessarily a reflection in the net pay to an employee because of the commit the potential commitments that could be out there in regards to benefits. The additional monies that they have to pay toward their health benefit, as well as possibly to this benefit of WRS.
Right, yeah. In any of the changes I've considered, I didn't even address in my comments the added cost that they might bear in the health plan.
Mr. Rotzenberg, you look confused.
I'm not confused.
Okay. Am I saying anything that may be misleading or inaccurate?
The city's cost would increase by the 3.1%. It's made up of two component pieces.
The city's cost would rise by the 3.1% that you mentioned, and it would be made up of two pieces. The additional matching to employee contributions to the plan of the 1.55, and then the proposed increase to employee wages, which is a new cost to the city of the other 1.55, which then comes to 3.1% of total compensation for that group of people who are electing into the plan.
And technically, since the wage increase, the second 1.55 is anticipated mid-year, for 2019, the employees would only experience half of that by the time it gets around to their W-2. The second half would be experienced in 2020.
Now, we talked about the original $123,000. Do we have, is there a certain percentage, if we didn't do WRS, that we already have, that we already is part of our existing pension program that we do? I'm just trying to see, is there a difference here of so much? Because we have ongoing and existing costs with the current programs that we offer right now, correct?
Correct.
And do you know approximately how much that costs us to implement it?
So if I'm understanding your question, I believe the difference is estimated at what I referred to as about $6,400. That would be the continued ongoing normal cost for those employees in the defined benefit plan who move to WRS. So because their base earnings on which their eventual retirement from our current pension plan is paid out goes up, there will be some continued normal cost that the city will have to pay as it gets its annual report from principal as to the cost of that plan. There should not be any for the defined contribution plan, because I believe the admin costs are allocated to all the participants, so we shouldn't have any ongoing admin costs there.
Okay. Alderman Dandridge?
So,
Alderman Dandridge?
Yeah.